بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim nation from whatever he feared for his nation. In our previous lesson, we mentioned that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had a treaty at Al-Hudaybiyah with the Meccans, the blasphemers of Quraysh, and some of the terms of the treaty was that the Muslims would return the following year to perform Umrah, and then they would have their swords placed in bags, that whoever comes from Mecca to Al-Madinah would be returned to Mecca if the guardian did not permit that. But if someone from Al-Madinah went to Mecca, this person would not be returned to Al-Madinah. Also, that the war activities would be suspended for 10 years between the two parties, and each party could have alliance with any people they want. And the following year, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came with the Muslims to perform Umrah, they went around Al-Kaaba. The Prophet told them to be energetic in the way they perform Al-Umrah, so that those observing non-believers would see that the Muslims were strong and steadfast to their religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that period changed the hearts of some people like Khalid ibn al-Walid and like Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. The son of Abu Jahl became Muslim. His name was Ikrimah. So those were two examples of the people who embraced Islam close to the year 8. And an incident took place is that the people of Quraysh helped one of their allied tribes against a tribe which happened to be an ally of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was a breach of the treaty. The Meccans of Quraysh sent Abu Sufyan to Al-Madina to say that the treaty is still enforced, but the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam refused to receive Abu Sufyan. He went to his daughter Hind, who was, or Umm Habiba, who was the daughter of Abu Sufyan, Ramla, and she was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she also would not except to keep her father in her chambers. Later, Abu Sufyan embraced Islam upon meeting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet showed him, paraded the whole army in front of Abu Sufyan. And Abu Sufyan, when he saw the Muslim army, he marveled at it. He was happy. And he said such an army would not be defeated by anyone. And Al-Abbas radiyallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet, noted to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Abu Sufyan was a leader and he likes to be respected and, you know, recognized. So when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam moved out to Mecca because they breached the terms, so when he was moving towards Mecca, he said, among what he said, that whoever goes into the masjid, al-masjidul haram, will be safe. The one who stays in his own house and closes the doors will be safe. And also, anyone who goes into the house of Abu Sufyan will be safe. So that curfew would be enforced, and Abu Sufyan's place would be a place of safety for anyone who seeks to do so. So, of course, this was a recognition of Abu Sufyan's new Muslim. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this year 8 managed to enter Mecca, rule over it without any serious fighting. There was a skirmish. Some non-believers attacked the Muslims led by Khalid ibn al-Walid, but Khalid ibn al-Walid managed to, you know, remove them or to deal with them. But not, there was no serious fighting for the conquest of Mecca. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam removed, jabbed, and poked the idols, the 360 idols around Al-Kaaba, and also went inside Al-Kaaba and ordered the wiping out of the drawings that claimed that Ibrahim and Ismail were using fortune-telling arrows. So this is how far we got yesterday. The author said, the people of Mecca, who for so many years were used to looking for signs from arrows and fortune tellers, were seeing true miracles from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As well, he was not telling them to demolish the Kaaba. Instead, he ordered them to destroy the idols and have the belief that Prophets Ibrahim and Ismail truly held. He called them to the same belief that Ibrahim and Ismail had invited people to in the past, which is the same belief of all the prophets, alayhi salat, alayhimu salatu wassalam. These Meccans, of course, had the news of the Muslims even scaring the powerful Romans. Remember the encounter between the Muslims and the Roman army, in which the Muslims were stood up to the Roman army and the Romans stopped fighting the Muslims. Now the leader of the Muslims, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, was from the same tribe as those people of Mecca, the tribe of Quraysh. So all of these matters means the Prophet came and ruled over Mecca without killing people, saying that they would be safe if they just went into these places, that the fact that the Prophet had performed miracles during that time of peace, people heard and may have witnessed some of these miracles, that the fact that Prophet Muhammad was from their own tribe, and then the Muslims stood up to the whole Roman Empire. So all of these had effects on the psyche, on the behavior of the Meccans. And then, while this happening, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stood and addressed the people of Mecca. Means now he is the victor. He now controls Mecca. So he said, O Quraysh, God has taken away from you the habit of bragging about your fathers. Always these people in the era of ignorance, the Arabs, always the person would say, my father or my fathers or my ancestors, and they use that point as a point of bragging, of showing off, of pride. So the Prophet is telling them that such a criterion of just bragging about the ancestry, but at the same time being non-believers is not really a matter of pride. So he said, God has taken away from you the habit of bragging about your fathers. All people came from Adam, who was created from soil. So all these people have the same origin. They all descended from Adam and Hawa, alayhim as-salam. So the Prophet is setting the stage to tell them that it's not, you do not excel because your father was so and so. The Prophet went on to recite verse 13 of Surah Al-Hujurat. The ayah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. So this verse 13 of Surah Al-Hujurat means, O people, we, in the ayah refers to Allah, O people, we, God, created you from a man and woman. So from a male and a female, Adam and Eve. And we, meaning referring to Allah, made you peoples, different kinds of people, and tribes, so you get to know each other. The best among you to Allah, means in the ruling of Allah, is the one who is most pious. The best among you to Allah is the one who is most pious. Certainly Allah is all knowing. He knows everything. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam set a basic rule, basic Islamic rule, that people's status religiously is by the amount of piety they have. The more obedient a person is to Allah, the higher the status of this person is. So piety is the measure. Piety is the measure, not the ancestry, not where the person originated from. Our Prophet said, O Quraysh, people of Mecca, what do you think I am going to do to you? ما تظنون أني فاعل بكم. So he said, O Quraysh, people of Mecca, what do you think I will be doing to you? They said, we expect good from you. You are a good brother and cousin. Means you are from our tribe, so you are our brother or our cousin. So they said, أخٌ كريم وابن أخٍ كريم. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, go, you are free. اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. That's what the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said. He said, among what he said, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم, means I'll say the same thing as Yusuf said to his own brothers after they came back and he was in rule, in position of strength and power. He told them, I don't blame you today, and you are absolved of what you did to me. The same thing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said, what do you think I will be doing to you? They said, you are a good brother and a good cousin. Then he told them that there is no blame upon you today. I set you free. You are free. And of course, the people of Mecca proceeded to come to the Prophet and his companions, and they became Muslims in droves, in large numbers. Even some of the major enemies of the Muslims had their hearts changed, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not punish them for their past abuse. Some of these people who were, you know, staunch enemies of the Muslims, and they killed Muslims in the past, abused Muslims, etc. Some of these were Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, the woman who had chewed the liver of Prophet Muhammad's uncle, our master Hamza, radiyallahu anhu. So she also came as a Muslim, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not punish her. And also Wahshi, that same slave who killed Hamza, came also as a Muslim, and he was not punished. So the Prophet's behavior, you know, his management of the situation, his forgiveness, affected these people, and they embraced Islam in groups. Now, seeing that the Prophet in his city of birth, some of the Ansar were concerned that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would like to stay in Mecca and not live in Medina anymore. So to some of the Ansar, it occurred to them that, okay, now Muhammad is in his birthplace among his own people, and so he may just want to stay and not come back to us and live with us. The Prophet knew of their concern and assured them that he planned to live in Medina until his death. He said, لولا الهجرة لكنتم رأى من الأنصار. Means, if it wasn't for immigration, means I was originally from Mecca and I immigrated to Al-Medina, if it wasn't for that fact, I would have been one of the Ansar. So they were happy, reassured that they're not going to miss the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stay among them. Consequently, this was the opening of Mecca, Fathu Mecca, and the people of Mecca became Muslim without a fight. After this incident now, after this great event of opening Mecca, immigrating to Medina was no longer an obligation on the Muslims. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, after he opened Mecca, the people now were not obligated to leave Mecca and immigrate to Al-Madinah. لا هجرة بعد الفتح ولكن جهاد ونية. The Prophet said there is no hijrah, no immigration after the opening of Mecca. However, if the person wants to, you know, go to Al-Madinah with the intention to perform jihad, then a person may do that. It means to help the Muslim army against their enemies. Okay, the author, may Allah have mercy on her, said, events at Hunayn. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, after he opened Mecca, he stayed there for 15 days. And the Arab tribes of Hawazin and Thaqif came to the area called Hunayn, away from Mecca, which is a valley between Mecca and At-Ta'if. So you have two Arab tribes, Hawazin and Thaqif. They mobilized their forces, and then they came to a valley that lies between Mecca and At-Ta'if. Ta'if, remember, a summer place which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had gone in his early days, calling the people of Thaqif to become Muslim. And remember, they threw stones at him and he bled, and then he met that Christian slave from Iraq or from Nineveh. So they intended to fight the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And these people had a leader. They were under the leadership of Malik ابن عوف النسري، مالك ابن عوف النسري. Now when the Prophet heard about their intentions, he sent Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrad al-Aslami. Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrad al-Aslami to them. Means he sent him to stay among them, then come back with information about their news to find out, you know, for certain whether they coming for fight or just it was rumor. So he went and came back and told the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام about what he had seen and how they had the intention to fight the Muslims. So the Prophet decided to march to these two tribes. He left with 12,000 Muslims and marched until he reached the valley of Hunain. After the opening of Mecca, the large increase in the army of the Muslims was noticeable. Now, 10,000 marched with the Prophet from Medina, and now the Prophet has what? 2,000 more soldiers. So within just what, 15 days? So he had 2,000 more soldiers. At dawn, the Prophet and his army passed through a narrow valley. They were marching. Hawazin ambushed the Muslims, hurling arrows and projectiles at them. When the front part of the army encountered this, means the attack, the ambush, they turned around to escape. So the front wanted to go back to avoid the attack. But the valley was narrow, so it was hard for the front just to turn to go back. When they did that, they simply what faced the soldiers behind them, the back part of their own army, as if to force the back part of the Muslim army to retreat also. So the army is passing through this narrow valley. The front was attacked, so these soldiers in the front wanted to go backwards, and the rest of the army is moving forward. So they had a clash between the front and the other part of the army. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, however, never felt the urge to retreat and continued forward. A group of Muslims stayed firm as well, such as the same names that we in every battle we hear: Abu Bakr, Umar, Abu Talha, Ali, Al-Abbas, Al-Fadl, the son of Al-Abbas, and others from both the immigrants and the supporters, the Muhajirun and the Ansar. So a group of them stayed firm with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, a man called Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith was holding the reins of the Prophet's mule. The Prophet was riding a mule. Remember, the Egyptian leader gave gifts. One of them was a mule. So the Prophet was riding the mule, and one of these companions was holding the reins of the mule. And our Prophet عليه السلام could have ridden a fine horse, but on purpose he rode his slower mule as a sign of his bravery and reliance on Allah. So the horse is easier to maneuver, and it's faster, but and it's higher. But the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام chose to ride that mule and to show his companions that you have to be firm or steadfast in the battle. So that was a sign of the Prophet's bravery and his reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars said that the riding of the Prophet on the mule, and the mule had a name, Duldul, during war, when the people are in extreme need or were in extreme need for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this riding of the mule in such an urgent situation displayed extreme courage and steadfastness, means from the Prophet. By this, the Prophet became the reference to whom the Muslims would go back. He became the reference to the other Muslims. And in their hearts, they would find tranquility by the presence and the place of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet did that on purpose because a mule is not the suitable animal for running away. After all, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam could have ridden many well-known horses. If you look in the books of the seerah, then they would give you a list of the horses that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had. But in the battle, in that battle, the Prophet rode a mule. Now, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, remember, now the Muslims are being ambushed, and this, you know, surprise is happening. The front of the army wants to go back, and they were clashing, colliding with the rest of the army in that narrow valley. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam ordered his uncle Al-Abbas, who had a loud voice, to call out to the Muslims, O Ansar, O Muhajirun, O supporters, O immigrants, O Khazraj, and one of the tribes of Al-Ansar. So when they heard the voice of Al-Abbas, they replied, Labbaik, Labbaik, means here we come, we obey you, we obey you. So many companions rushed to be with the Prophet, because the Prophet was in the front, and many went backwards, or they were still in the back. So when they heard that call, they knew this was the voice of Al-Abbas, and he was with the Prophet. So it means you need to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you need to fight. Now, if these companions who wanted to rush to the Prophet, if their animal did not turn quickly enough, they want to turn the animal and go forward, they would just jump off their animal and come on foot to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they would not slow themselves down. When a Muslim wanted to come close to the Prophet, any Muslim, it would be hard for him to move forward with his camel due to the many retreating people. The soldier would hold his sword and shield, descend from his camel, releasing it, and head towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. By that time, the Prophet had close to 100 men around him who fought off Hawazin by striking at them. The battle intensified. A good deal of stabbing and sword fighting took place. The Messenger of God started saying, when this was happening, قال أنا النبي لا كذب أنا ابن عبد المطلب. The Prophet, you know, announced himself openly, أنا النبي لا كذب أنا ابن عبد المطلب. It means, I am the Prophet without any doubt. I am the grandson of Abdul Muttalib. And at that time, no one among the people displayed more strength than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He showed the ultimate steadfastness, courage, and patience. I mean, in the battle, if the Prophet announced himself as if he's saying to the enemies, I'm here, people usually, you know, hide or, you know, try to be unnoticed so that the enemy would not target them. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was telling the people out, you know, openly, I'm here, I am Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put fear in the hearts of Hawazin when they finally reached the Messenger of Allah. When they came face to face with him, he shouted at them once, threw pebbles to their faces, and said, Hamim, they will not be victorious. The Prophet said, Hamim la yunsarun. So he used this two letters, Hamim, and these two letters are the beginning of, as far as I remember, five surahs in Al-Quran. So, and then the Prophet said, La yunsarun, they will not have victory. Now when the Prophet threw these pebbles to their faces, no eye of theirs, of the enemy, was safe from what the Prophet threw at them. They could not see, and they were defeated. And about this incident, Allah revealed in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 17, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. So this verse 17 of Surah Al-Anfal means, it was not you, Muhammad, who created your throwing of the pebbles. God is the one who created it. The Prophet ﷺ did the act of throwing, but Prophet Muhammad did not create that act of throwing. The creator of that act was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who made these pebbles reach the eyes of the enemies. So the enemy was defeated. Remember, again, we're doing it in short. Many spoils were collected from the Battle of Hunain, including 6,000 women and children, 24,000 camels, 40,000 sheep, and 4,000 ounces of silver. The Prophet ﷺ, in his wisdom, did not distribute the spoils immediately. Instead, he had them taken to a place near Mecca to be safe kept. Now, survivors of the other opposing tribe, remember Hawazin and Thaqif. So this was the encounter with Hawazin. So now the second tribe, which is Thaqif, went to At-Ta'if, their own place, their own town. They secured themselves in their own fortresses. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his army went to At-Ta'if and surrounded their fortresses for 15 days. These people could not get out. They were under siege. And the people of Thaqif and the people of Hawazin that had been killed in the war, that had not been killed in the war, started to embrace Islam. So you have members who were killed, members who survived, and those started becoming Muslim. The new converts requested that they could get back their women, children, and wealth. Remember, the tribes fought the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Muslims won, and then they had spoils. Among the spoils were the money, the wealth, and also the women and the children. So when some of these members of these two tribes became Muslim, they had a request. They asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that they could, if they could get back their own women, children, and also wealth. However, they had been, of course, what? The ones who waged the war against the Muslims. So the Prophet dealt with these new converts, new Muslims, with great wisdom. He said to them, you know, I'm not the only member of this army. It means when we fought, I was one of the army members. So the fighters have rights, and I'm the only one to implore. I'm not the only one to implore. It means if you want your money and your children and women back, you don't need to talk to me only. You have to talk to everyone who is in the army, because the spoils are the rights of the soldiers. The spoils are divided among the people who participated in the battle. So you have to talk to everyone in the army to request, to fulfill your request. He said, the fighters have rights. I'm not the only one to implore. Tell the truth, the Prophet is addressing. What is dearer to you? Which one has more value, is, you know, of value to you? Your women and children, or your wealth? So you want your wealth, children and women. Which one has more value to you? Your wealth or your children and women? On purpose, I delayed dividing the spoils until you came to me as Muslims. The Prophet told them that I on purpose did not divide the spoils immediately until I'm hoping that you become Muslim, and you did. So the new converts responded to the address of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They indicated that their women and children, of course, are dearer to them than their wealth. So it means if they had a choice, wealth, women and children, they chose their women and children to be freed. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you have two sides to the issue. You have those who are requesting, and you have the soldiers, the Muslim soldiers. So the Prophet, again with great wisdom, addressed his army, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said to the army, your brothers, means the new converts, have come to us as Muslims, and I would like to return their women and children to them. Those among you who love to give up their share of these may, and those who love to wait may. So the Prophet alayhi salam said, I would like that these new converts, our fellow Muslims now, I would like that they get back their women and children. And I'm telling you, you are the soldiers in my army. You have your own rights in the spoils. So I'm telling you, those among you who would like to spare those women and children, return them to their family, they have my permission to do so. And those who want to keep their spoils, their share of the spoils, also have the right to do so, may do so. So when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he left it to the army. But he did not hear everyone, every soldier in the army, you know, saying this way or that way. And he wanted to be sure of that. So when he did not hear everyone say that they give up their share, he waited until their commanders came to him. So the commanders of the divisions. And he told them that everyone told him that everyone would like to give up their share of the women and the children. So the commander of every division, the army, came and met with the Prophet, and they explicitly expressed that every soldier in their division wanted to spare these women and children, return them to their families. Means they give up their share of the spoils. And as a result, these new converts from the two tribes of Hawazin and Thaqif were reunited with their women and children. Now, concerning the spoils that were not given back, remember, women and children, but there is the silver and the money, the wealth. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam divided them among the fighters and gave a big portion of the spoils to the new converts who had come with him from Mecca to fight Hawazin and Thaqif. So remember, the Prophet came with 10,000 soldiers and he opened Mecca without any fighting, without any major fighting. And then when he left Mecca, he had 12,000, 2,000 within people embraced Islam, at least those men, and there are women and children. Okay? But many people entered Islam within 15 days of being in Mecca. So now the Prophet came out with 12,000 soldiers to fight these two tribes, Thaqif and Hawazin, who had mobilized their forces with the intention to fight the Muslims. So the Prophet took care of Hawazin first in Hunayn and then of Thaqif in Taif. So these new people who became Muslim in Mecca and went out to fight with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet gave them a large portion of the spoils. You know, gave them more than usually he gives to others. So, the Prophet, now when he gave them more, the Prophet did not give spoils to the Ansar, although they too fought in the battle. So he gave large portion to these new Muslims, and he did not give to those Ansar who have been fighting for Islam for a while now. The Prophet did that. So some of the Ansar began to talk about this. They discussed it among themselves. They wondered about the reason. They just said, why would the Prophet do that? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he knew of it, of course, explained to them that he gave the spoils to those new Muslims to help them stay firm on Islam. Whereas he was confident that the Ansar were already firmly devoted to Islam. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam explained this and he said a statement, أَلَا تَرْضَوْنَ, do you not accept that they get these animals, that they get this dunya, these spoils, and that you, Ansar, get the Prophet in your own city? Don't you accept that they take these spoils and you will get the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in your own city? He said, I swear by the one who controls my soul, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. And whenever the Prophet swears in that form, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one who controls the soul of Muhammad. Our scholar said that it means it's a very important matter. He's talking about something which is very important. He said, I swear by the one who controls my soul, had I not made hijrah, immigration from Mecca to Medina, I would have considered myself from among the Ansar. لولا الهجرة لَكُنْتُ مْرَأَمْ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. So had it not been that I was an immigrant, I would have considered myself one of Ansar, one of the supporters of Medina. And then he said, O Allah, O God, have mercy upon the Ansar. اللهم ارحم الأنصار, their children, وأبناء الأنصار, and their grandchildren, وَأَبْنَاءَ أَبْنَاءِ الْأَنصَارِ. So the Prophet made dua, اللهم ارحم الأنصار وأبناء الأنصار وأبناء أبناء الأنصار. So, O Allah, have mercy on the Ansar, their children and their grandchildren. So, when the Prophet did that, these people, you know, started crying, wept, their tears, you know, flow from their eyes until their beards were saturated with tears. And they said, Radina, Radina, we accept that the Prophet is our share, to take back with us to our homes. They said, we accept to have our share in this battle the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام returning to our city instead of the spoils. والله سبحانه وتعالى أعلم. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.